Well, you bring up a really good point and a really interesting topic, which is manifesting. Certainly really popular, and I think something everybody wants to know more and more about. And just speaking for myself, I've certainly gone through periods where things seem to flow and then things seem to stop, or where you hit that kind of glass ceiling, like maybe I can manifest amazing parking spots, but as far as manifesting a new client or a certain amount of money onto my income, it's like somehow that's not possible. So I'm wondering if you can speak more directly to what the role that energy plays in manifesting. Is it purely energetic, or how does that play into our action in life?
It's not purely energetic because we now have a mind. You know, you add the mind in, and the mind and the energy are two interwoven things whenever, you know, we get beyond five. And so what occurs is we will be our greatest container stopper. So we don't know how to expand our container. We don't understand, first of all, often that we have a container, you know, beyond this. And manifesting will be if you put only so much water into the glass and you never put more into the glass, that's great. However, that's not life, right? So you add more things, you add more knowledge, you add more wishes, desires, whatever, and the glass can't handle anymore. And so that's the container. So we actually have to learn how to expand the container, clean up our poopy head. And it's not just mindset. It's not just being aware. Because awareness is not going to solve the problem. If we get to this stopping place, which is pre-programmed or in based upon things that we've set in motion for ourselves, and then we didn't even know were there, and that are pre-programmed in our energetics as well as our mind, the only way to get out of that and to solve that is through solving the energy and then the mindset. You solve the energy first, and then we deal with the mindset.
And one of the things that I see most is constant mantras. You have to do more mantras in order to reframe the mind in this. And what I hear you saying is that it's actually something more than that, or something deeper than that.
Simpler.
Simpler.
Simpler than that, for sure. It isn't, if you really took a look at what happens with the body. So say there's a wound in the body, okay, and it needs a Band-Aid. Well, the first thing you have to do is actually have to clean the wound up before you put the Band-Aid on. And if you think of the Band-Aid as the mantra, then and the wound hasn't been cleaned up, or solved, then the Band-Aid is actually going to become the problem. It's going to make things worse. And so when you deal with the energetics and using the energy mastery tools and skills, what occurs is both get cleaned up, so it becomes so instantaneous that what can occur is like, oh, it's here right now. And we have moments. We have moments of that happening, but that is not a habit, and that is not a consistent behavior we know how to take action on. And with these tools, it just is 100% simpler, 100 times simpler.
And around that, it seems like when it does happen so magically, there almost seems to be a part of the mind that says, well, I couldn't possibly do that again.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and that's where we deal with the, we have this technology for the mind piece, and that's when we teach you how to take that and unwind that into a sequence, so that what occurs is you do find that it happens again and just becomes repeatable again and again and again. That's what you want, is a recipe that's repeatable.
One of my clients was working towards a goal for years, and it was a big goal, to be sure. But we noticed that this pattern was unfolding wherein she would get close to the goal and start to get right up there, and then all of a sudden, everything would spin out. So it could have been something with her family. I mean, there were many circumstances of this. Sometimes it was family. Sometimes it was a health thing. Sometimes it was just external circumstances or you know, whatever. And it became very confusing. And so I'm wondering, though, when you talk about this process of manifesting, is that something that a person is actually creating for themselves? How do these blocks and this kind of self-sabotage play into that? And what are the underlying energetic patterns that play into that?
Yeah, so some people call it terror barrier, set point, glass ceiling, whatever you want to call it. However, we have different things that we come in with as a template, and then we have school and all the other things that we hear on the street, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't recall what we've heard, and we don't recall all the environments we've been sitting in. And every environment actually, you know, participates in our energetic. So when somebody is in that kind of circumstance, it could be they could have a money set point. It could be they have a family limit set point, etc. I think the best way to describe it is one of my clients, and her first mission was to get to the $300,000 level, and she was making $150,000 at the time. Mm-hmm. And every time we got close, she'd end up with some funky health thing. And I was like, oh, that's cute. And so we'd solve that. And we all have the ability to create more. We just don't think we can or we should, particularly whenever you're in your heart and you've gotten, you know, you've had a trauma and you're out there doing service work. You know, there are a lot of beliefs, patterns, programs, and attitudes and other containers that we're dipping ourselves into. So the objective is to take the skills and tools inside of Energy Mastery, the Paramita stuff, and really work with the energy and the mind simultaneously to work through that piece. And that's not always an instant. So with that particular client, we got her from $150,000 to $10 million with a couple of bumps along the way because of those set points. But she knew what to do, and she would reach out and she'd say, I'm at one of those places. And most people just quit and be like, I got it, I'm good, I got the tools, rather than reaching out to somebody who can take them to that next unwinding of that set point.
Another thing that I notice people doing when they hit one of those points is also really spinning into the self-blame and self-judgment. I've certainly done that myself. And if I'm understanding you correctly, that's really coming back to the windshield, cleaning the windshield and allowing that next level or that next step to reveal itself. Is that accurate?
Imagine you go to an environment where you're sitting with a whole bunch of, a group of people, and they're just, they're of a different nature, and they like to blame and shame and gossip and blah, 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 and you just learned this stuff, or you learned some of this stuff. Imagine you're going there, and all of a sudden you walk away, and you feel like, well, I'm going to go blame my mom, my dad, and all of a sudden you find yourself doing that. It's because you've picked up their stuff, their energy, and it's like a virus. And we don't even know it's a virus, and we didn't even know that we need to clean the windshield again. So, yes.
So, in speaking about energy, money, getting cleaned up, you know, cleaning up that windshield, so to speak, so that you can create and have more abundance, it seems to be a bit of a paradox. Wherein it requires money, it requires a tuition or investment to do that, to learn the skills necessary to do that, but at the same time, not having it to start with. So how does somebody work through that? Like, what sorts of advice would you give as far as that decision-making process goes?
It's really amazing what we have the capacity to generate. And if we leave out this really dangerous word in our world, doubt. If we can leave that out of the process, our soul is called to do this. It just is. And then our personality comes in and says, no money, bank account, blah, blah, blah. And at the true core of it, we actually know how to do it, and we will then talk ourselves out of it. So for me, it's any time I've ever wanted to do something, I really go through the, yep, what's the downside of not doing it? What does it cost me not to do it? And I remember a couple times, it cost me a lot not to do it. I almost lost my life. And so I know in my heart of hearts that we are designed to have what we need and the tools that we're here to use. And money is just our hurdle. And it's our greatest love, and it's our greatest enemy. And if we can move toward the love of it, we actually will have more of it. And when you say yes, like I was doing for most of my life since my husband died, it just shows up easier and easier and easier.
Well, you mentioned also listening to your soul's calling. And I think that can get confusing. sometimes, where you're not sure what is that actual true quiet voice, or what is my personality just trying to make my life more difficult, so to speak. What advice do you have in order to connect more directly with that calling and with that inner truth?
You just have to, you want to follow the instant, yep, I know that's right. And then if you hear yourself backing down, then you know that's your personality. If you find yourself saying, there's a classic thing I hear people saying, let me just sit with that a bit. And you know what? It's really their personality trying to talk them in or out of something. And this all already knows. And all of the other stuff is just going to try to take you away back into who you used to be. So the yes is right in front of you. And it just gets easier when you say yes sooner.
Yeah, another one I hear is, well, you know, what literature, you know, what more can I read up about this? Are you saying that's the same thing?
Same thing. Yeah, because you want to know more. Mm-hmm. And it's not about knowing more. It's really about getting to the core of who you are. So there's something that's magical about you being you. And all we're doing is we're taking off all of those weird or different layers that have prevented you from being you and being the most magnificent, healthy, vibrant, vital healer, coach, business person, engineer, whatever that is, so that you can get to do more of that. And we're just peeling away those layers so that shows up with more ease.
Now, I know that you've taught these in person, right? And so oftentimes for people, it requires all those other sets of hurdles. You know, what about the kids? What about the travel? What about all these other things? How do you relate to that? Like, what do you recommend for people to take into consideration as they're thinking about, and all these things are swimming around in their head about, how can I make this happen?
Yeah, there's this great thing called UNTS, the don'ts, the wouldn'ts, the couldn'ts, the shouldn'ts, the didn'ts, and the most important thing is, if you're a yes, it's to figure out how. Because the how will show up as soon as you say yes. I will give you a personal example of me. I wanted to go and meditate with this person who was in Germany, and I had two very important business meetings. And one was in New York, and one was in somewhere else. And I actually flew to Germany overnight, and I meditated with this person for 3 hours, and I got on a plane. Yeah, this is like less than, you know, this is all in a 48-hour period. I got on a plane, I did both of the meetings because I wanted that, and I knew that if I missed that opportunity, I was really shutting myself down, and I was making myself small. And so I've done a whole heck of a lot of those, and not knowing how, but dang, as soon as you go and you leave that doubt and the unt, suddenly everything is just there and you're able to do it. And you're on the other side of it going, holy cow, how did I do that? And so there's a way. You just have to keep saying yes.
And I've heard you speak about, well, just now and also in the past, about the cost of missed opportunities.
Mm.
And I know that there is an energetic and a spiritual component behind this. I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit about that.
I'm going to give a teaching, I think, that's even more important. I remember that I read this book, and we were having a very intimate discussion about the teachings, little tiny, like 10-page book. And something that just totally struck me, like, to my core. And it said, if you miss the teacher, it may take you 10,000 lifetimes to find that teacher again. And that is challenging. That still strikes me as like, holy crap. What if I have to go through 10,000 lifetimes to do this same thing again? I don't think it's worth it. I think it's worth finding a way and saying yes.
Well, I think a lot of people are interested in the history behind it and the lineage of where energy mastery actually came from. Is it something that you just channeled from nowhere, or is it some, like, how did this come to be?
Mm. Yeah, everybody seems to want to know lineage, and that's going to validate it more. And, well, that's important. If you really look at science and you look at history, these are actually found throughout history for thousands of years. It's really fascinating. There's a book out there that actually talks about these things from 8,000 years ago called the Upanishads. Okay, that's beautiful. But you don't know how to decipher it. So each book, each religion has an element of this interwoven through it. And I'm a student. I'm a student of life. I'm a student of history. And energy has always been the thing I've thought about first, always. So I took what I knew and what I interpreted and the things that I had learned, and I really just started applying them as to, let's experiment. And every time I got a result or I didn't get a result fast enough, I'd be like, all right, how fast can I make it? How much quicker can I make that happen? What are the things we need to do in order to get somebody a result? And not just for me to do it, but for it to be taught to somebody else so they could do it. I've studied almost all religions. I've had clients that were rabbis and Hindu priests and nuns and monks and, you know, all religions in my practice. And it's so cool because they all say the same thing. When you just deal with the energy of it, it allows you to be more of who you are and how you are in your life and have a happier and more peaceful way about how you integrate your own religion and spirituality. So I think that is probably the most important thing to understand. And the greatest teachers of mine have come through Tibet.
So if I understand, then there's really no conflict with any particular religion. It's more of a common thread that mm-hmm. has been taught throughout throughout the lineage of the different religions.
Yeah, and the cool part about it is non-denominational. It is truly non-denominational. If you can breathe, you can learn how to do this and apply it to your own life in any denomination.
In my experience, working with these and sharing these and working with my clients, I have not run across anything yet that can't be improved by energy mastery. And that's just from my own personal experience. And I know that you have literally thousands and thousands and thousands of those experiences. But I'm wondering if you can speak a little bit more about the methodology or processes that were used to develop all of these unique protocols. There's specific protocols for specific conditions. And I'm wondering how those came to be.
Think of a Rubik's Cube. You have to know the sequence in order to get all of the colors on each side in order for you to be the winner, so to speak. And just like a recipe that you make cake with, mm-hmm. you have to know that if you are not going to put yeast in there, it's not going to rise. Right? So you can do a whole bunch of mishmash of things and you'll get some results. However, to get the true results that you want, it's really about what is the next step. And with anything, there are certain requirements in order to get the ultimate result. So the first thing would be, we're going to deal with stress and pain, you know, all of the pains in the mind and the body first, and then we're going to sequence it out. So the objective is to create something that is going to get the fastest result in the shortest amount of time. Came from corporate, so I want quick results, right? So the fastest result in the shortest amount of time that anybody else can apply and do on their own. And a lot of it came from, a client would come and they'd say, I learned this and I learned this, and I'd say, show me, and they'd do it. And I was like, I can create something for you that takes about a minute and a half. I'm like, let's do this and this and this, and there you go. And they're like, oh my God. And so really, literally, people would come to me and they'd say, hey, I learned this thing, I learned this DNA thing, or I learned this other healing modality thing. And I'd be like, show me. And I can see the energy, and I'd look at it, and I was like, yeah, let's do something faster, quicker, that's easier, that you don't have to like try to remember and write down and look up every single time. So it really came about through my frustration of what others were teaching. And it was a long, drawn-out process and all these things that you'd have to remember to do in these ways. And the nature of the body gives you the answers. And so we teach that in Energy Mastery. And we teach you how to find it and follow it and then apply the principles that we've worked through Now, I always say you can experiment on your own, but the results are always interesting because we get calls if somebody experiments on their own and they go out of the sequence. So it's recommended. But I am always looking for things that are going to get somebody a quicker result in something that they can do in their daily life with something as simple as just their hands and, you know, an idea.
One of the things that I think makes energy mastery so unique is the component of it that deals directly with the patterns, programs, beliefs of the mind. And I'm wondering if you can speak about what you were seeing in more traditional, say, energy healing that really compelled you to create Paramedas and what that is actually designed to do.
So I remember this guy coming when I first started, you know, doing this stuff, and he came to my house and he had some shoulder pain. And, you know, I did this protocol that I'd learned and I was like, yeah, should be good. And he called me and he said, well, it's back. And I was like, what do you mean it's back? I'm thinking, we should be done. That's good. So the fascinating thing was I started thinking about what is it that happened there that needed for him to come back. What did he have going on that required that he had to come back? And it wasn't through him that I started to create the Paramedas. It was when this woman came to me and she had cancer, and it was her fourth time having cancer, and she's like, I found you, you're the only one, and you're gonna help me. And I was like, okay, but I'm still like figuring this thing out. She says, nope, you're the one. And I thought, okay, great. And what I discovered is she would be awesome and the scans would be fine. And then she'd go back and live in her home with her husband in a particular way. And all of a sudden, things, it was bouncing back and forth and in and out. And I thought, there's a problem. There's something else going on and we haven't addressed this. And so I actually brought the family together and I had a meeting with them and I thought, I am going to find this out. And that's when I created the first steps in Paramedas of, all right, what is it that I can do to get somebody a solution outside of when I'm having a conversation with them that they can take home and continue to use to allow the unwinding and the process to follow through. Right. And so we've actually been taught through the therapist model that people need to become codependent upon, and you want to learn to be independent of. And my whole mission with creating that was to give a template where people could learn to become independent of and really go out and have their journey of life. So I would just scribble all these notes, and it's really funny to go back and look at them. I'd scribble all of these notes of like, okay, well, we're doing this. And at first I called it a mind map, and I was like, yeah, that's so not it. And then I was just like, all right, well, we're just going to create this thing. And sure enough, we started creating it. I tried it on a three-year-old. I thought, well, if a three-year-old can do it. You know, right? I tried it on a three-year-old and she could do it. And she was so excited and she was screaming and running around the office afterward. And her mom was like, what have you done? This is not the same little girl. And I was like, that's the solution. And so that was the genesis of it. And it works with two sides of the coin. Generally, most circumstances dealing with energy work with putting more in, and they don't deal with both sides of the coin. Mm-hmm. And so we deal with not putting more in, mm-hmm. and we deal with both sides of the coin.
So really focus on cleansing, but also then the like you say, the flip side of the coin, like positive, negative, good, bad, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because generally, whenever we start down this path and we get better and we get more in tune, we tend to be like, yay, I'm happy, when inside we're kind of like, I'm maybe a 3 happy on a scale of 10. But before it used to be, you know, maybe a 0. So that is better, but there's other parts to the coin and the equation that absolutely must be addressed. So yay, I'm happy is a 3, that's nice. Okay, but what else is under the I'm not happy? So we're only dealing with one side in most circumstances who are teaching this energy stuff or even mindset stuff. They're just dealing with one side of it. We solve both.
Why did you name it Paramedus?
My favorite story. I didn't know what to call it. And I was flying back. My mom was dying. And I was flying back to help her and do some work for her and do some healing on her. And I'd picked up this magazine, and I'd been letting it run around in my brain for a while. And I didn't know why I had this magazine. It was, you know, some very high esoteric magazine. I'm thinking, yeah, it's not really the stuff I read. I like business stuff still. Mm-hmm. And even though I read ancient books, I still like the business stuff. And so I read it, and I got into this page. I was probably three pages in, and I was like, that's it. What that? I don't know what that word is. I don't even know what that word means, but that's it. And so, you know, went to the Google and looked it up and found out it's from a very, 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 very ancient word that is only used in one tradition anymore. It's used in Buddhism, but it actually comes from far back, more ancient word in history than that. And I thought, that's exactly what it is. So that's how it came.
And it means?
Getting to the other shore. So the way I see it is each shore that somebody learns through taking energy mastery and applying it to their life, there's another shore, of course. And then there's the ability to get to another shore and another shore and another shore. And these tools give you the ability to get to any other shore.
And you've known me for years now. It seems like lifetimes. And you're one of the very first people I met out in California. I didn't know anybody when I moved out here, and it was my partner Donna who had found, you know, you two had somehow found one another, and it's been an amazing journey through these years. And honestly speaking, I never would have thought that this would be something that we'd be doing together. And I count you as certainly one of the most influential people in my life in so many ways. And I know for myself what that's meant to me. But I think as far as the actual results, it's helpful to have an objective perspective. Like, I can speak to it myself, but I don't think I always see everything there is to see. So I'm wondering if you can share with me some of the transformation that you've seen since we first met.
Well... I'd say you were a timid guy who had some pretty cool things going on and who has probably more of your own drive than you knew you had. Mm. And the ability to perform at the level that you thought you were performing in trumpet playing. I can see you, you know, becoming more and more masterful at that and taking, you know, that's why I chose you, taking the reins of this and saying, there's more. I'd like to shepherd this through to the next phase and stage. And I just see you blending your creative side, you know, with your woo side, with the money side. And that's the most elegant solution I can see anybody. As a testament to the work, showing up and doing, and having your own clients, and being the shepherd for the teachers that are coming in behind it, mm-hmm. and allowing me to do what I hear, allowing me to do what I'm here to do, and how I'm, you know, being guided to, you know, take this work out there. So, thank you.
Well, thank you. Really and truly, such a heartfelt thank you. As I said, I don't know that this is something that I would have ever imagined or ever thought possible. But what I can tell you is that when we first had this conversation about energy mastery and the role that I might play in it, something landed with me at a heart and a soul level that was like, finally, this is what I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just so exciting to me, and I'm so honored to be a part of it, and really and truly, just from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you for all the gifts that you've shared with me into my life, and thank you for being open to creating this aspect of energy mastery so that we can get it out to more and more people. Thank you very much.